You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
So we had a little fun in hour number one. It's real simple. Is it a big deal or no big deal that DeMarcus Cousins unfollowed your New Orleans Pelicans on Instagram and then followed the Los Angeles Lakers on Twitter? That led to the bigger question that we've thrown out there that Jordan finally correctly tweeted. Do you bring back DeMarcus Cousins at all costs or at the right cost? That's kind of how I'm viewing this more than anything else. I think you do bring him back if you can. At the right cost. I do not give him a 5-year max deal. I can't. And if that hurts his feelings, and if that's, you know, to a lot of different fans feel that I'm being unloyal, I'm being mean, I'm not. A max deal, regardless, if he was healthy, let's say he went through last year, was healthy, is going to hinder you and hurt you already. The additional pieces you can bring in. If you do it with a player that you don't know how healthy he's going to come back, you have even more of a risk added with the fact that you still can't bring in any players. So what do you say? 800-998-1003 or at ESPN Radio Nola if you'd like to chime into the conversation as well. Talked a little college baseball also to start the show. Tulane losing at UL Lafayette 7-6. Had a run in the 8th, 3 in the 9th. Southeastern, they continue to win 35-19 now. We're going to get Matt Reiser on tomorrow on the show. We'll give you the confirmation on time here in a quick second as Jordan's working on that. They won 12-9 over South Alabama yesterday. They continue to win. And, you know, Houston is the last series they have. It's two games Thursday, Friday. They're ranked 20th. Obviously, those are huge for Southeastern to try to boost up their RPI. And last night, over in Baton Rouge, LSU won 9-5 over Northwestern State. And they are now 32-21. They will be at Auburn starting tomorrow for their final SEC series. To talk a little bit about that and the Tigers possibly playing their final home game in Baton Rouge of the season. It's Mr. Glenn Gilbo covers the Tigers. LSU beat tweets the way to follow him over on Twitter. Glenn, how are you this afternoon, man? Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Isn't it weird to just even say that last night might have been the last time you see them in the regular season? That's not, it's May 4th, you know, 15th. It's yesterday. That's not the norm.
Yeah, I know. It's been coming though. You know, they've been hovering around 500 and they have a bad road record, so that's part of it. But they still have a chance. You know, they do probably have to win one or two against Auburn to get into the regional.
It's when you look at the season the way it is, obviously injuries, huh? Would you say injuries is the storyline so far for this Tiger baseball team?
Yeah, they had two pitchers that they were really counting on to probably get into the rotation. A.J. LeBay was one who's been hurt most of the year, and then Nick Storrs has been ruled out. He's barely pitched all year. And then Bryce Jordan was hurt. I mean, the shortstop, Josh Smith, was hurt. They lost their second baseman for a while. So it's one of the worst injury seasons they've had. And even if they were totally healthy, I didn't see them as a World Series team going in, you know, so because they lost so many seniors and top players from last year. But they're battling, you know, and a couple wins here and there. They lost a close game at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. You know, everything could have changed.
Speaking with Glenn Gilbo, writes for the Gannett, Louisiana Papers, USA Today, at LSU Beat, tweets the way to follow over on Twitter. I don't feel, although like in years past, almost, I guess what I'm getting at, I do get the sense that LSU fans realize the type of season it has been and the reasons for it. Because Glenn, years in past where you don't have success or winning when they're going to regional, that was never really in question. It was more of a national seed. Paul Maneri, there was heat under his seat. I don't feel like there's that much heat under Paul Maneri this year. Am I wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question of him being under any heat. I mean, he came as close as you came to the national championship last year.
Right.
You know, he had a major injury to a starting pitcher in the middle of Omaha. If that doesn't happen, that could have changed a lot. No, they're not in any trouble. I think fans are ridiculous sometimes. LSU has been the most consistent of the major programs in any sport at LSU for years on the baseball. This is just a little off year that was kind of seen coming in, but they still have a good chance to make the postseason, but it's probably going to be on the road for sure.
They've always been very good over at Hoover, Alabama. Do you think they can make a run there that can maybe even, or is just hosting so far out of the reach? I mean, I was listening to Matt yesterday. They're among the last five in just to play in the regional.
Yeah, well, if they win two out of three at Auburn, which is they're number 12 in RPI, LSU's 46. If they can win two out of three, and then if they win the SEC tournament, they could have a chance to sneak in to host the sub-regional, not the they would be a top eight seed. Mm-hmm. They did beat Arkansas two out of three, which is a high RPI team. But they just kind of got so far back, they're 46 right now, and some of their road games have hurt them. But they still have a chance to make some noise as far as a home seed if they could win the SEC tournament. But I just think it's looking like they're not going to be able to. They don't have the pitch depth to get all the way through the SEC tournament.
Right. Let's move on quickly to football. As, Joe Burrow's been a topic, obviously. They hosted him over the weekend, spent, a day with Cincy, three with LSU. Looks like he's going to go visit North Carolina by some of the reports on that. I looked at it last Friday when the news came out that he was coming in, Glenn, as if you're hosting a quarterback in May, you're telling me you don't have a quarterback or you're not comfortable with what you have. Am I wrong with that assessment?
Well, I think that's partly true, but I really think the main thing is Coach Orgeron doesn't want to lose a quarterback to a transfer, and he has a chance to do that. Will Narcisse has been considering a transfer since last year. So that would really put him behind the eight ball if they don't get another quarterback. They just have two. And the thing to remember is one of their targets was a quarterback on signing day. And they didn't get him. They lost him. Montgomery Kidd, they lost him to Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. So this isn't new. He said at the time he wanted to be a graduate transfer quarterback because they're a little short. So he really needs one for depth purposes, so they'll have three on scholarship. But the bonus is, I think Burrow is better than anybody they have.
So, I what does that say, though? Because, I mean, I know, well, like, when you look at Brennan and things of that nature, Miles was still kind of part of that recruiting. But, Coach O was either in charge of recruiting or had a heavy voice in recruiting, even while Miles was still here. And these are some of his guys. I don't know. You get what I'm getting at? It's like, what does that say that we're still in the same predicament if you're an LSU fan that you've been in for a long, long time? And Mettenberger's a dot now on a timeline of this school can't find quarterbacks. And more importantly, Glenn, to me, a quarterback's going to be the starting quarterback for 2 to 3 years. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I wrote this a year ago. Well, actually, the day they hired Coach Orgeron, I said it was a mistake. And then last year, I just felt like they thought that they could get away with a tweak hire. And obviously, that hasn't worked yet. I mean, it's not over yet, but the strength of Ed Orgeron, one of the main reasons they hired him, was his recruiting prowess.
Right.
And he hasn't signed a quarterback since he's been there. And it's not like he's a new hire. He started in 2015 as an assistant, as a main recruiting guy, and he hasn't signed anybody. They're still dealing with quarterbacks that Les Miles signed, and that's been Les Miles' main problem is quarterback. So LSU's is a mess right now. And then, oh, by the way, Coach O also didn't sign a cornerback. They're lacking one there. And he also didn't sign a premier running back, which is ridiculous in the state of Louisiana. So the program is not in good shape right now on those levels, and the quarterback remains a 10, 11 year mystery. I mean, it's ridiculous. LSU is one of the biggest name programs that continually has quarterback issues. And I just can't believe it, that they can't find somebody who would want to come to LSU,
right,
take over, you know? Now, I can understand why a guy wouldn't want to come to LSU because of the bad track record, but you'd think they'd get some guy who's got some guts who can come in and take over and become something, you know? But they haven't been able to find that. It's just amazing to me.
You know what's nuts, too, is when you think about it, especially with Burroughs, he gets the visit, he's there 3 days, and you're like, man, if he can't close the deal there, because, Glenn, didn't they get like two of the top three or top five or some of the best receivers, including the number one receiver prospect in this last class that they signed?
Yeah, Terrace Marshall from Bossier City, the Rummel player, and you know, now they don't, and they got a transfer from Texas Tech, Jonathan Giles, but you know, there's not a lot of proven talent on the roster, but you know, there is some highly recruited players. You'd think he'd want to come in, but then on the other end, you know, might be looking, you know, it might be a death trap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks have not succeeded here. You know, and even the ones who have looked good and have had some decent seasons, it's like the fans don't really like them. You know, I mean, Edling had good stats, and I know he had some issues.
Right.
And even going back to Jamarcus Russell, I mean, he had the best stats you could imagine in any LSU quarterback, but it seems like the fans didn't like him. It's just a weird bump at the position. So I can see where a quarterback would shy away from it. But mm-hmm. You'd think a guy with some guts and talent would think, man, I could come in here and rule the world, you know, and become a legend, or at least better than anybody else they have, which I think would be.
Yeah, very strange when you look at it from that perspective, and I guess only time will tell to see where Burrow decides to go and how that would affect. Just will add to the storylines in the fall if he decides to go to LSU. LSU Beat tweets, the way to follow Glenn Gilbo over online on Twitter and read all of his stuff, of course, Gannett, Louisiana Papers, USA Today, The Works. Just follow him online. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate your time.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Yep, for sure. Well, you take a quick break, come back. Dino Hanson will talk NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 2. Love to get your thoughts on it. Feel free to jump in the conversation. We'll put you on with them. LeBron James, 42 points. Kevin Love, 22. All five Boston starters had double figures. Do the Cavs have an answer? I mean, they led pretty much all that game. There's a toughness that Boston has that is impressive to me. Game 2, Warriors and Rockets, is tonight. Houston actually a 2-point favorite. 8 p.m. tip time on TNT. Both of those games we'll discuss with Dino next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Opportunity to go back home, protect home court. You know, we're going to use these days to really dive in on what needs to be done to help our ball club be successful. And, you know, they did what they had to do, and that was protect home. And now it's our time to try to do that as well. So, you know, we have a few days, like I said, and, you know, we're going to see what we made of on Saturday.
That is LeBron James after he was asked, what is your level of concern now? That was the question that was asked of him after game one, and oof. He said he's not concerned at all. Well, they lose game 2, even though he scores 42 points. Dino Hanson joins us at Dino Hoops 11's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Dino, you know what this means, that they're down 2-0, right? You know what this means, don't you?
It means I'm not concerned.
No, it means where is he going to next? That's right. ESPN goes and gets Brian Windhorst. They wake him up this morning and they ask him if they get swept or if they lose, will this affect the decision? Part 2. I'm serious. I mean, that's where we are with this. You don't believe me? Here's Windhorst. Here he is.
We have an opportunity to go back home and protect home court.
That's LeBron. Here's Windhorst.
I honestly believe that how this season plays out is not going to affect LeBron's decision on his future, because he knows what this team is. He knows that this team is in decay. He knows that this team is not as good as it was a year ago when they had Kyrie Irving. And he now knows that they have the number 8 pick in the draft. That's not going to change. Whether the Cavs win 4 of their next 5 games, he knows where this team is. So I think he's trying to carry this team to the finals. It would be an incredible accomplishment, especially at this point down 2-0. But I don't think his decision is going to change. Whether they win the next 2 games or lose the next 2 games, I don't think this is going to be a championship team. And I think LeBron's known that for quite some time. It's just a matter of how it's going to end.
There you have it. From the scribe's personal, from the king's personal scribe himself.
What do you mean that this team isn't better than last year's team with Kyrie Irving? Hold on. He's the king, baby. Where's Marlon Fave right at?
Oh.
The narrative that Marlon has put out there. Bruh, it's amazing. And I tweeted this earlier, bruh. You know, the Boston Celtics, if people don't know, had 2 superstars that they got in the offseason. That being Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. They lose Gordon Hayward in game 1, and then the last 20 games of regular season, they lose Kyrie Irving. Not to mention, you also were without Jaylen Brown for a while. You were without Marcus Smart for a while. And not once have you heard any of these guys on this team, because it takes forever to mesh. This is a bunch of young guys who have only been playing together for a year or two, including Al Horford. But that being said, you've not heard Brad Stevens complain that, hey, we don't have our stars, so I don't know what more you want us to do. I mean, we're not supposed to be here anyway. These young guys have taken advantage of the opportunities, and they're seizing the moment. You know, every player always talks about what they would do if they were given the chance to be in those moments. Well, the Boston Celtics have done exactly that. Of course you hear the narrative, well, LeBron doesn't have any help. Hold on. The Boston Celtics don't have their 2 best players on the floor. Last time I checked, Kevin Love was an all-star. Last time I checked, LeBron James was an all-star. So you really don't have any all-stars on the Boston Celtics basketball team. So why are they winning? Because they're playing team basketball. I thought it was funny that Tyronn Lue also said that, well, the Boston Celtics are gooning it up. No, what they're doing is they're out-toughening your guy.
Right.
They're going after the 50-50 balls. They're rebounding. They're defending.
I heard Tyronn Lue say that, and I was like, what game did you watch? I didn't feel, and again, it wasn't because I was just enjoying watching Boston play, and I'm not like I'm rooting against the Cavs, but
right.
I never watched that game yesterday and went, dude, they are letting, I mean, was there a single time you or I text each other and went, boy, they are letting Boston get physical? I saw Cleveland standing around. Where was the gooning at?
Other than J.R. Smith shoving Al Horford in the back, he wasn't what, a goon?
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
That's excuses. That's because you have no answers, because you can't figure out, here it is, LeBron puts up a triple-double, and everybody figured he was going to come out and play that way. And he had a great first quarter. And you remember I texted you at the end of the first quarter saying, for as great as LeBron played, they're still only up by 4 points. So, you know, this is – I am not rooting against LeBron nor the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't have any, you know, stake in the game whatsoever. Of course, I'm a Pels guy. I love our Pels. But that being said, if you don't enjoy watching the Boston Celtics play basketball, you're not really a fan of the game of basketball.
These are a
bunch of young guys playing yeoman effort, man.
No doubt about it. What Jaylen Brown, Rozier are doing, I mean, again, it's fun to watch more than anything. Here's that bite real quick.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We got to be tougher. You know, I think they're playing tougher than we are. We see that. They're being physical. They're gooning the game up, and we got to do the same thing. So we got to be tougher mentally and physically.
Wait a minute. You can't say your team needs to be tougher mentally and physically, and then the backhanded compliment there. Yeah, they're gooning. Again, maybe I watched a completely different game. First off, they dominated the first half. They led at halftime. And then when Boston slowly, methodically started coming up, and again, if you're gonna say hustling for loose balls is gooning up, look, I know where he's coming from. He's trying to make it seem like the hit that LeBron got hit in the head, which was completely accidental. I mean, it was not a, here's a forearm shiver to the king's cranium that sent him into concussion protocol. It took like 10 seconds. He comes back out and they're like, oh, he wasn't the same afterwards. I'm like, he wasn't the same afterwards because Boston's defense clamped down. But I mean, look, again, here's Tyronn Lue on. No, it was definitely, wasn't the same after the hit.
It was a tough collision. Knocked his head, you know, sideways. And, of course, he came back. But when he came back, I don't think he had that same punch that he had before he left. You know, as far as attacking the basket, playing with that force and power we talked about, a shoot around. So,
yeah,
we'll see how he feels.
Well, what does that say about him? Because you know what? ADs look like the crash test dummy in some playoff games. He gets hit so much and no calls happen.
None would. So ever, not a drop of cold. But here's the other thing about it. It's not as if LeBron was making it a point in the first quarter or the first half to get to the rim.
Right. He stopped driving.
He was shooting jump shots.
Right.
He was stepping into good rhythm jump shots. So don't make it seem as if all of a sudden he stopped being aggressive. No, you have to give credit. And, of course, you're competing. So you're not going to give credit where it's due. But the credit goes to the Boston Celtics because they have put together, they have done what Mike D'Antoni is refusing to do. They made adjustments. And that's what great coaches and teams buy into. Well, okay, they hit us with their first shot. Now let's adjust.
I'll say this. You use the word give them credit. I give credit to J.R. Smith. At least, I mean, the guy shoves a player. You know, he grabs the dude's face. He grabs Rozier's face, who's trying to defend his teammate. The guy went 0 for everything. He can't hit a single shot. And then afterwards, they ask him in the locker room, did you intentionally shove him?
What did you think of your player on Horford?
It was a good call. I blatantly pushed him. It wasn't like I was trying to low bridge him or something to make sure he didn't get it. And it was a good hard foul. I don't understand why they gave me a flagrant.
There you go. I pushed him. But you know what?
It was
own
a
it up.
Hard foul.
Yeah, well,
he
look.
No play. He didn't make a basketball play on the ball at all. But it was a hard foul. He gets a flagrant one. You're talking about injuring a
Yeah,
person.
You could have hurt someone. I'm laughing. It could have hurt someone.
Bruh, I know you saw my text immediately, and I was livid because I have been undercut before and landed on my back. Bruh, that is the scariest feeling in the world, to be in midair and not have any control whatsoever of your body because someone got that frustrated and decided to give you a cheap shot. Come on, man. Whether you're in the midst of battle or not, there is still a unspoken level of respect when you're playing the game of basketball, and that was just totally Bush League. And the fact that the referees didn't immediately eject, bro, mm-hmm. You've seen officials call technical fouls and kick guys out of games for less than that. You're talking about changing the landscape. What if Al Horford had come down awkwardly and now he misses the next two or three games? You have now changed the narrative of the Cleveland Cavaliers possibly advancing to the NBA Finals. That was just totally the lowest thing you could ever do to another individual on a basketball court, man. That was just unacceptable. And I love Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier going to Al Horford's defense. And I'll tell you this much, Gus, if you don't think the Boston Celtics were in the locker room laughing to a degree in the sense of, we got them, and they know we've got them. That's one of the things.
No. Look, I hear you, and it's one of the things that I just love watching. That it's funny. I'm seeing other bites here from ESPN that you know, a lot of analysts feel it's just not in the DNA. Toughness. Chauncey Billups saying toughness just isn't in the DNA of the Cavs. But look, what's going to be interesting is I want to see how Houston responds tonight in Game 2 because mm-hmm. You win tonight, it's 1-1 going to.
Right.
You know, over there. And if you win one there and don't, you come back to Houston tied up at 2-2. So I get why there's a lot of premature talk that this series is over. I do. When Harden goes for 41, and like I asked you yesterday or Monday, I never felt the Warriors were in trouble. in that game. I never honestly did. That said, I think the Rockets, more importantly, Chris Paul, I think needs to almost control the game a bit. Harden with 41 is great, but I almost feel like the Warriors, like, have at it. Go for 60. That's fine. We're still going to beat you.
It's funny you say that, because when D'Antoni said that, I don't know, I guess we got to have James score 50 or 60. And you don't go to see, looking at chops like, please, let him go ahead and score 50 or 60. We will gladly let James put up 60. Not gladly, but I say that to simply say this. And you're dead on right, Gus. Chris Paul needs to be the guy that is setting the tone for this basketball team. This is one of the things that made Mike D'Antoni run into problems in the past. And you would have thought he had learned it by now.
Right.
There is a difference between being staunch upon what your team does and being stubborn. It doesn't mean you're going to change your entire game. Because, first of all, you can't just change who you are. A leopard doesn't change his spots, even if it's nighttime. It is what it is. So he is right in that. We are who we are. But in that same respect, this is where great coaching comes in, and you have to make necessary adjustments. Sure, you're an ISO and pick and roll type of basketball team. That's all fine and dandy. But if you continue to be stubborn in what it is that you're trying to do, you will get ran out of Houston as well, and Golden State will capitalize on your continuance to play ISO basketball without the lack of ball movement. Gus, we've been talking about this for years, since you and I have been friends and brothers, bro. It's the fact that as a defense, what do you love more than anything else? A team that doesn't move the basketball so you don't have to really move on defense. That's exactly what Houston will continue to do if they don't move the basketball and get other guys actively involved. You have to. Against the daddy long legs, that being Kevin Durant. Look, in all honesty, I predict this tonight. I predict Steph Curry is going to have an amazing game, but the game will be tighter than what most people think. And Houston, they're in a must-win situation, because if they don't win this game tonight, I'm not saying they can't get one in Golden State, but this is going to be over in five, because Golden State allows teams to beat themselves. We've seen it all year long, and they have that extra level that most teams don't, bro. Regular season means nothing to Golden State anymore.
Dino, we'll close out with this great story. Dallas police arrest a 25-year-old man who duped high schools, as in two of them, to relive hoops glory days. Dino, that's right. Sidney Bouvier Gilstrap Portley, a 25-year-old man, graduated from North Mesquite High School in Texas, was recently arrested and booked into Dallas County Jail after police realized he had enrolled in Hillcrest High School in North Dallas as a 17-year-old. He did it at two different schools and played a total of 9 months of high school basketball, schooling people left and right. And then they realized he's 25 and should be in high school. So there you go, Dino. I'm just saying, a mother of a 14-year-old classmate was like, this guy looks like a grown man. He's 25, taking on 14-year-olds and looking like LeBron. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
why not, Dino? Give it a shot.
That's Uncle Larry. Like, what is Uncle Larry doing on the other basketball team over there? He's dating my mom. Wait, what? Uncle Larry? Like, why you call him Uncle Larry? He's a high school basketball player. No, that's my Uncle Larry. He's always over at my house.
Or, see, here's the one problem why he went to jail. He was actually dating a 14-year-old. I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing. That's not funny. It's terrible. I'm just saying.
I saw the story as well, and I'm thinking to myself, you have got to be joking.
So, right. I mean, dude, be happy you're playing high school basketball. You probably shouldn't be dating the 14-year-old. You know what I'm just saying? You're kind of pushing your luck there. Anyway.
Let me tell you something. I've decided he actually ruined my plan, because at 49 years old, for my birthday, I was going to show up at St. Aug this season, and instead of being the public address announcer for sports, I was going to go ahead and also do double duty and play in the game as well. And they'd be like, man, why is Dino's uniform so tight? Why is it like from 1980? That's because it is from the 1980s.
Oh, you were going to use the original unis, huh? The short shorts. At Dino Hoops 11 is the way to follow him on Twitter. Tweet at him during the game. Believe me, you'll be watching it back and forth. He and I will be texting as well. My wife's like, who's that, Dino? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'm just like, do you ever watch a game without the phone in your hands? I'm like, well, no, I'm working. I mean, it's kind of what I do. I'm working. Anyway, talk to you tonight.
It's so funny. I tell people all the time, man, they don't realize the stuff that we text compared to what we tweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'll see you tonight. Take care, buddy.
Talk to you later, brother.
Yep. Paul Boron, a little wrestling segment. We'll touch on that next. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back, Paul Boron's the voice of your New Orleans jesters. P. Boron 88, so we'll follow him over on Twitter, and he also does a wrestling podcast. Paul, what's going on? Paul, how are you?
I'm great, Gus. How are you?
Name of the podcast?
Name of the podcast is Two-Faced Wrestling Talk. You can find it at twofacedpod.com, TWOFACEDPOD.com.
Nice, and you got a little partner in crime there that helps you with the podcast.
Yeah, Kelsey. She's got her own YouTube channel called Super Kicking It with Kelsey, and she's got all sorts of great wrestling content, and she's the cute one, I'm the heel.
Now, I hear you. That's fine. It is a role for everybody in life. And we'll be alternating with you guys so we can have you on, because every Wednesday at 2:30 we like to have a little wrestling segment. So away we go, Mr. Paul Boron, as we take a look a little bit at Monday and Tuesdays. We're working our way to the next big pay-per-view, which is Money in the Bank. So, Paul, the last several weeks we've had qualifying matches, and one of the things that stood out to me is some of the big names aren't making it per the qualifying match, such as Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan didn't win their qualifying matches.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. I figured Daniel Bryan in particular was going to get a little more of a push. But part of me is kind of glad that they're slowly pushing him. Like, you know, it's been a couple years since he's wrestled. Let's not just throw him right into the title mix. So I'm kind of okay with that. And I'm hopeful that Samoa Joe gets that last spot next week because he's one of my favorites.
He really is. I've talked about it before. His intro with just the sweat towel around the neck, you know, no flair, no pyrotechnics. Just here I come to kick your tail. I love it when you look at
him. He's so good on the mic too.
Excellent on the mic as well. When you look into it, and one of the people that's gotten better on the mic and just has completely gone over is, just different type of wrestlers, but really. The monster amongst men is so much fun to watch. That like people love, I love watching how big he is, and he's just destroying people. Like I want him to win.
Yeah. It's funny because Kelsey and I were talking about this the other day. They were so hopeful that it was going to make Roman the sympathetic character when Braun Strowman was beating him up a few months ago. But the crowd was so into Braun beating up Roman that now Braun has become the baby face, and people love him. I mean, people go nuts for him.
I agree, and I tell you what, it's just funny to sort of watch the different pairings. I liked when they did the Facebook, sort of team matchups when it was him and Alexa Bliss. I mean, you could not have gotten a bigger monster with such a small petite wrestler and her. Speaking a little bit about the ladies' side, I guess probably the big news this week is we now know what Ronda Rousey's going to do next. You know, we last saw her really wrestle in the pay-per-view at Mania. And first off, I guess, Paul, Is she going to be almost like the female Lesnar? Like, we're not going to see her every Monday? We're just going to see her at pay-per-views?
Well, I'm hoping it's just because they're more behind the scenes, just fine-tuning her. I'm hoping that's not what the case is going to be. It seemed like they were building a program where maybe she and Natty would team up, and that would make sense to kind of keep easing her into, wrestling on a regular basis, but, have somebody kind of take the pressure off her. But now they're throwing her right into a title match, which I mean, maybe WWE has a plan. Sometimes I'm not sure they do.
Right.
It seems like a mistake either way. If she wins the title, obviously it's too fast and it's ridiculous. But if they have her get beat up by Nia Jax, doesn't that just kill any progress of Ronda Rousey? So I think it's kind of a silly idea. I'm hoping that somehow the match just doesn't come to an ending, that there's interference or something.
That's the only thing I can think of, Paul. The only thing I can think of is that Alexa comes in and helps her old former friend, or, you know, Asuka comes in, or Charlotte, because I see, and especially after WrestleMania, and then you had, two SmackDown nights ago before Charlotte took the break to go get something fixed, if you know what I mean, Paul. She had a great match, and it just really seemed to me like all the momentum was going to headlining WrestleMania next year would be Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. So maybe that is what's happening, is that Charlotte interferes, and then they start that feud leading and building into WrestleMania next year. You think that's too early?
I would like to think that WWE would do something like that. I mean, to be honest, you mentioned WrestleMania. I was kind of hoping that's what they were going to do with Cena and The Undertaker. Instead of the two-minute nonsense that happened at WrestleMania, I thought maybe they were going to build a whole program the next year, because they have done it in the past with Rock and Cena, and it works to have a long build. So, But WWE, a lot of times, is just short-sighted. They can't stick with the storyline. I mean, they've kind of abandoned the Sasha Banks Bayley feud all of a sudden. So sometimes I just don't know what they're doing. Like, they don't have a plan beyond that night's show.
Sometimes, Paul, the action in the ring is the storyline, and you need to stay with it. Shinsuke and AJ, I loved it. Loved it at Mania. Loved the low blow battles left and right. And then this past Tuesday, you have a almost low blow that leads into a win for Shinsuke, and now he gets to pick his stipulation for the match that they're going to have again at Money in the Bank. I love it. They two just need to battle all the time. I mean, they have such great chemistry in the match, in the ring together. And, you know, unfortunately, it was a match or two after WrestleMania that we actually got to see them, you know, really battle there in the last pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's funny because the WrestleMania match is really the worst of the matches, I think. And part of it was because the crowd was out of it, you know, at that point, because they had already had the high of Ronda Rousey and all that. And plus, it just kind of was a dull match. But the one at Greatest Royal Rumble, the one at the pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, and then the one last night were all really good matches. So it's funny that WrestleMania was the worst of them. So I'm hoping they tear the house down at Money in the Bank with whatever the stipulation might be.
Paul Boron, voice of the Jesters, and also we're going to be talking wrestling every other Wednesday with him. Kelsey will be on deck next week. Final topic here. Look, I think right now Seth Rollins is really doing some of his best work. And this, it's nuts because he held on to the title for a long, long time. But he was as a heel, and I don't know if everyone was on board. And he was really good there. But, dude, I love watching Seth Rollins wrestle right now. And you kind of could see a matchup or a pairing here that you would like to see kind of continue.
Yeah, I mean, they did it a little bit on Monday on Raw with him and Owens, and I think that'd be a great program. Look, Seth Rollins, I think, you know, Kelsey and I talk about this a lot. New Japan, like, really values their Intercontinental title, that they make it as big as their regular title, and that hasn't always been the case with WWE. But I would contend the three best matches in WWE since WrestleMania have all been IC title matches, and the common denominator on all three of those was Seth Rollins and Miz with some other characters mixed in. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think Seth is one of the best in the world. I mean, he would go over big in New Japan with his style. So, and to have him and Owens go for a while, I think that would be a great program.
No doubt. And finally, as we wrap up here, Paul, got to quickly ask you about the Jesters. Next match for them Saturday was more like it. 4 goals in the win there. We're going to talk to Coach Kenny Farrell tomorrow. Next up for the Jesters are?
Greenville FC. It's an expansion team. They're already 0-2. Kenny told us on the Jesters court that they do have a few dangerous players, but he's expecting to get a full 3 points. And look to next week where they have a huge road trip going against the defending conference champions and their biggest rivals in Nashville and Chattanooga. So They definitely want to get the win Saturday against Greenville.
Cool. We'll definitely touch on that tomorrow when Coach Kenny Farrell joins us right here at 2:30. Thank you, man. Appreciate your time today, Paul.
My pleasure, Gus. See ya.
P. Baron. Did I say it right? Boron. I said it right, didn't I? Baron. Boron. I'm going to eventually get it. Boron.
Moron, boron.
I know. P-boron 88. Why can't I say it right? What is wrong with me?
You're a moron, like I said. You're a moron.
I need to just remember that, especially with the way you look at me. You give me like the Sean Payton look right now. I don't like how you say you're a moron so fluidly. You say that really easily, by the way.
Moron?
Mm-hmm.
What? You like that, huh, Gus?
No, I don't, actually. Final segment coming up next. Don't forget, top of the hour, it's Matt Muskoden after further review. And Friday we'll be at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, where we are each and every Friday. Come on out, have a little lunch with us and enjoy it. Oh, by the way, there's a big horse race on Saturday. Thought I forgot about that. I'm going to take care of you Thursday and Friday. Joe Christofek and Bernie Halperin, both gentlemen that we helped you for the Kentucky Derby. We will bring them on the next 2 days as well to get you ready for the Preakness. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Sports Hangover wraps up next on ESPN New Orleans. Top of the hour, Matt Muskoden, and after further review, give you the latest on what's going on up in Baton Rouge. And of course, Joe Morrow got a call on that earlier today. On that, the question that we threw out there a little bit ago, kind of along the lines of again, we talked a little bit about it earlier in the show about, you know, being unfollowed, the Pelicans, by Boogie Cousins, and then the Lakers following or being followed by him. I get it. Here's the thing. I do think there's something to it because it would happen, right? And he responded, he replied, because I'm grown. And by the way, Brian and Earl East did respond because I was like, we're trying to figure out what does because I'm grown means. He says, Brian and Earl East says, I'm grown. It means I do whatever I want and really don't care who doesn't like it. So again, you are telling us you meant to do it. You know, it wasn't one of those, and again, it's not like you accidentally unfollowed. And that's been my whole point on this. You're well aware now, and you know what you're doing, and they're savvy enough with their social media to know if they tweet a color, a sneaker, a food, they know what's going to come of it. Dude, you like this, you don't like Brock. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They know that. They have that kind of influence. They know that many people are watching him. So when you unfollow the team you play with before you hit free agency, it's going to be a topic. And then when someone asks you on your feed, why did you do it? And your response is, I'm grown, which per Brian and Ola East, he's our director of street, by the way, he lets me know, means I do what I want and I don't really care what you think. Well, if that's the case, then you're absolutely telling us, yes, I did it. I meant to do it. And so what of it? And again, I guess to me, it goes back to the initial thought I had at all of this. What are you, 15? You know what I'm saying? It's an immature thing to do. Because as Jake Madison from Locked On Pels and I talked about, what kind of negotiations are you actually helping by doing that? You understand what I'm saying? Anyone that's been in relationships, agitating your partner or the person you're dating or married to, when has that ever helped your case? Even if it's a backhanded sort of way. You know what I'm saying? You never ever say, yeah, I love you for now. Or I love you because I have to. Right? It's a lot different than I love you. And you look at the fact you didn't join the team in the second round. Tweeting things like, love is loyalty. What's really loyalty? I think the guy's gone through a lot. I think he... He's his own unique individual, right? He's either been difficult to work with or be with, or people have written that about him, or vice versa. He's had a bunch of different GMs, head coaches, whatever. So I don't know. I don't know what's been in his life or how he is or how he acts. But if you're purposely doing that in following other teams and you like stirring the pot, it just comes, I don't know. Again, at the end of the day, it comes across as, well, is it worth the trouble? And by most of the responses that we're seeing, Jordan, what's the final poll here? Big deal or no big deal that he did it?
101 votes, 57% say big deal, 43% not a big deal.
So almost 50-50, really, when you look at it from that perspective. Matt Moscona and After Further Review is up next. We'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow. And then, of course, Western Conference Finals, Warriors and Rockets, 8 o'clock on TNT. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Adios.